Backseat Producers, episode 207, Kaishimusha. Don't be a dick. Kaja. No. No, Scott said it's not Kage. It's not the hard G sound in Japanese.
Yeah, but the thing is, we're not speaking Japanese.
Well, I pronounced it the way I was told it was supposed to be pronounced.
And how is that again?
I don't know. I'm not saying it.
I want you to leave this in the introduction.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
What are we talking about next week?
I don't know, because I can't find this goddamn movie.
We don't have to talk about it next week. It's fine. You're going to have to break it to Sam, though.
That's true. I'll talk to Sam about it. He'll get over it.
That's on you.
I'll take care of Sam.
If I find out that Sam's killed himself because we're not doing sex drive, that's on you.
I'll take the hit on that one. I think I have to be more concerned by Manhands, because he'd be losing a co-host and editor. Yeah. Mostly the editor.
Mostly editor.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know what? He'll hit you from Colorado.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't take much with those hands.
No, it really doesn't. All right. Well, that doesn't solve the problem.
Daryl, what are we talking about next week?
I got it with Sex Drive.
It's
been canceled. Okay.
Yeah, I can't find it. Oh, okay. It's not available.
You can't
find
it on iTunes or
no.
You can't find it on Hulu.
No, not on Hulu, Netflix, iTunes. I did find it on Amazon for $10.
Whoa.
You have to buy it.
Nah,
you can't
that's
just
no good.
You
oh,
can't
only
just 10 stream
bucks,
it.
So I'm buying it on $10 on Amazon.
Jeez.
I'm cheap.
It's a tough to find movie. You'd think that thing would have been available on streaming the next
day.
Yeah,
you'd think.
So we've decided on Season of the Witch with Nicolas Cage.
Is that out on...
It's streaming already.
Is it streaming?
It's Nicolas Cage and Ron Perlman.
Oh, well, shit. Let's do it.
No, let's not.
Okay.
Here, I'll sum it up for you. It's terrible.
Except it's got Nicolas Cage
it's
and Ron
It's got Nicolas Cage.
And Ron Perlman, yeah.
Which is shiny. It's actually kind of a throwback to In the Name of the Rose, really. Actually, that you know, let's do that, because that might actually be an interesting discussion. Comparing the two movies. They both got Ron Perlman.
That is true. That is a true fact. All right.
Let's do that.
Season of the Witch, then.
And you're sure it's streaming now?
Yeah, I saw it, like, yesterday.
Okay.
So, if it's not streaming now, then there's like, they just took it off.
Right.
So.
All right. So, there. That happened.
Wow, I can't believe we're doing that.
Your suggestion.
All right. Let's get into this movie, which I will pronounce Kagemusha.
I was told it was supposed to. We weren't supposed to pronounce the hard G sound.
Well, I don't know who told you that.
Scott did.
Okay. I don't have a defensible position here. I just think that sounds dumb. So I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced.
All right. High level review.
I enjoyed the first half of this movie, and then the last 15 minutes of the movie. There was a period of about an hour in there that I kind of lost track of what was going on.
Which hour? The first, second, or third?
It was mostly the last part of the second hour into the third hour.
Ugh.
That was tough to get through.
Daryl?
Same thing. It's a great movie, except it just drops anchor sometimes for no apparent reason and goes off in these bizarre discussions.
Yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed this movie, but like before you got here, we were talking to Julie, and she's like, yeah, Tony kept falling asleep through that. I'm like, oh, it's a good movie, but not exciting in the least.
No.
Like, and there are long sequences that are not interesting.
There were sequences.
Well, that's the thing is, this movie is a historical drama.
Yes.
Based on some real events with real people.
Right.
I choose to believe Akira Kurosawa was the first one to do a historical drama.
That's a weird statement to make. Yes, well, especially in 1980s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like there's one scene where he's talking to his advisors,
mm-hmm.
and Julie turned around because she was sitting here doing some work like mm-hmm. late last night. She turns around and she says, "Did you pause the TV?" Nope. Don't you see the candle flickering there and the smoke rising up from it? There is a sequence that goes on for
between
15 and 30 seconds solid where nothing moves on the screen
except a lot that of flickering people there candle. Too.
Yeah, and they're all just sitting there. And it just nothing goes on. It was so weird.
It's like, I think that was the intentional was to build tension and they're all waiting for him to make the actions that the original person would have made.
Yeah, but yeah, I get that.
Yeah, but the only thing is, you don't have to show it that long.
Well,
there are other ways of building drama and tension.
They could have done the same length of time mm-hmm. and cut between him and looking at some of the advisors anxiously, like,
those famous Kurosawa
when are you
jump
gonna
cuts
say it?
And wipes and everything else, and all those film tricks he loves to do, and like he just
none of it
in this movie.
Nope.
Yeah, that was the best part. So, let's do the. I'm chomping at the bit to get to this part where I want to discuss my theory about this movie.
All right.
Let's do the acting.
Acting?
Because there was a billion people. I'm going to be real generic.
A billion people, and like half of them looked exactly the same.
Tony, that's very racist, but I agree with you 100%.
It's not even racist. It's a matter of there were like three or four people in this that I could not tell apart.
Did you see Old Samurai?
No.
From Seven Samurai?
No.
He was the third spy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Cool.
A lot of
actors were recycled in this movie.
Yeah.
But then again, that's Kurosawa's trait. He likes to work with the same actor.
Yeah, I looked for him.
All the time.
Yeah, I looked for him too. In fact, I even looked up to see if he was in it, and he wasn't.
I know.
Like, I'm not watching this movie. This sucks. But he probably wouldn't have been not wearing pants, and I would have been really disappointed. God damn, it's Shiro Mifune. You know what? I'm going to name... Okay, so we're going to start talking about these people. You got the leader guy, and then you got the thief. I'm just going to call the leader guy Mifune, and then the thief. So...
Actually, they're all the same actor.
I know they're the same actor. Well, then his brother looks exactly like...
Yeah, he does. He said he was an imposter.
I was like, are they all the same guy? Is he playing a triple role? Because... That would be kind of cool.
That would be cool. And I'm like, Kurosawa, you're a dick. All these people look the same, and you get a guy who's a double for another guy, and then you have a double-double.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't have a double-double.
No, there
double,
was only
double.
The double. His brother was actually another actor.
Well, his brother did double for him,
but
though.
He doubled for him.
Yes.
And the
so
nice
the
thing was...
the a triple.
It worked. He actually did look like...
Yeah, he mm-hmm. did.
Oh, that was wild. It
yeah.
was like
oh yeah, the opening sequence is pretty freaky. They're all three sitting there, going back and forth, talking about you know what they're talking. Who's in charge here? They're all sitting there, you know, like
feeling
words, and until it becomes clear that you know the imposter is the more agitated one.
What bugged me about that is you see there's this one shot
mm-hmm.
and it never moves from
right.
this one
it's a
shot
locked,
for like
it's a locked what, focus
like 20-30 minutes
mm-hmm. and they're just talking back and forth
and it's like it looks like it's all the same person. Thank yep. God he didn't jump cut and show their faces because I had never known who the hell was talking.
I couldn't see whose mouth was moving because I was watching it on my monitor, so I'm like I assume one of these three people is talking and they all sound the same to me because I'm just reading it anyway.
Yeah.
I think that, again a deliberate use right there to just confuse the audience as to who's who here.
No, see, I don't think so. I don't think so.
It's trying to set up the whole story.
I think it's exactly the opposite. Because having that locked camera,
mm-hmm.
if you see who's talking, you know which one it is. Because the thief was off to the right, the Lord was in the middle, and the brother was on the left of the screen.
Yep.
And if you watch their mouths move when the words were on the screen, you could figure out that's the brother, that's the thief, that's
the
Lord.
It's pretty clever.
And it worked because if they would have focused on those guys when they talked, mm-hmm. I would have been completely lost.
I actually think it's a pretty clever kind of prelude to the rest of the movie where these three guys are in almost every shot, and you have to figure out which one is which.
Yes.
So he gets you warmed up before the credits. and then he just doesn't even slow down later.
Well.
Let's put it this way. He sputters occasionally.
That's fair. All right. So Toshiro Mifune / The Thief were awesome. That guy was pretty great.
That guy was fantastic.
Yeah, he did the double role.
His acting was... brilliant. It was really great.
Yeah, that's why I labeled him Mifune.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen what Mifune would have done in the
movie. Oh, that would have been awesome. That would have been awesome. I think Mifune wasn't dead by this point.
No. Well, yes, he was. He died in 70... He died in late 70s?
No, this was made in early 80s.
Sure. 1980 was when it came out.
This movie was released in 1980. I don't know when Mifune died.
So... Brother guy was alright.
He was functional.
Yeah, and nothing special though.
Yeah.
And then there were a bunch of other people.
Yeah, there were like the advisors.
Generals and
yeah,
advisors.
The generals and advisors, the concubines, well, the mistresses.
Mistresses were awesome.
They were hilarious.
And then there was Ieyasu and... It's not Nobunaga. What's the other guy's name?
Which one? The adversary or the...
The other. He had two adversaries.
Tokugawa.
Yeah, there it is. Tokugawa. So those two, like, the cutscenes with those two were very weird, but they were cool framing devices that kind of pulled you out of the day-to-day.
Fudi died in 97.
Okay, so he was available, but he didn't get used in this movie.
Yeah,
well, that was a mistake. Kurosawa,
not necessarily. This is a different movie. I mean, Mifune is more of an action adventure type, yeah, but this is more of a drama.
In the 80s, he'd be like 60.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been. I think he would have been really great in the role of. Well, then again, the guy wasn't supposed to be that old.
No, he's only 51.
He's only 50, but
yeah.
First off,
it's Mifune.
He's Asian, so it's hard to tell what age he is anyway.
Oh, geez.
Now who's being racist?
No, seriously.
I know what you're
talking
about.
The main dude was like 50, but he looked like he, I don't know, I could have bought anywhere from 30 to 70.
Yeah.
Like, so. Like,
yeah, especially the last scenes he was in, he looked old.
Yeah, that's a cool...
We'll get there. Yeah, I know.
I think that's telling too. By the way, so I'm getting to this theory because I don't care about the rest of this shit. Okay, so my theory about this was this: how many movies did Kurosawa do after this?
Not very many. It was only about maybe a couple. He did Ron, I think, after this, but only about three or four more.
Okay, so but this is post Star Wars, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Lucas
film helped finance.
Oh, yeah,
Lucas and Coppola were the international executive producers.
I posit that this, the way that he chooses to tell this story, is an autobiography. And he is Mifune.
Holy crap!
He is Mifune. And then
Lucas is the thief.
Is the thief. And then ultimately, he comes around and he understands. Like, he understands the legacy so much that he ends up funding the goddamn movie to get it made.
That's brilliant.
That is what I believe this movie is.
That is genius. Well done. I like that.
Sluts.
And in the end, when you see him, when he's all crazed out and gray and stuff, he looks very Lucas-y. Like, you know, Lucas got that unruly beard and crazy hair.
If he just didn't have a chin.
Yes!
Oh,
that is my theory about this movie. And
That's a good theory.
I want to believe that Kurosawa knew that. And then, like... So he made Hidden Fortress, and then Lucas cribbed the shit out of it. Like, because Kurosawa's got to be probably the most ripped off.
Oh, he is
director that's ever lived, right?
Well, he's probably one. I wouldn't say he's the most ripped off, but he is certainly one of the most. He's right up there.
Yeah, yeah, he's way up there.
Yeah, he's way up there. So, I mean, he's got to know. And having seen Star Wars, he had to know. Like,
well, hey, there were sequences through like almost all of his movies that Lucas ripped off bits and pieces of so many of his movies.
I mean, and then the like most of the spaghetti
it's not
westerns.
Ripped off, it's a homage.
Most of the Eastwood stuff.
Yeah.
You know the ones I'm talking about.
The spaghetti westerns.
The, yeah. Fistful of Dollars was Yojimbo.
Yeah.
Which we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember talking about Yojimbo. It was awesome. It was a seven hand
Which one,
dog.
Wait, which one didn't, were you Hidden not Fortress. For? Okay, yeah.
Which I did not watch.
So, one of the things we talked about during that one was how people said it was like this huge ripoff of Star Wars.
And that's not how time works. Mm. Hidden Fortress came out before Star Wars, right?
Oh, yes.
Right.
So it was not a ripoff of Star Wars.
I'm sorry, the other way around. Okay. Star Wars was a huge ripoff of Hidden Fortress.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't.
There were elements of it, but
There were elements. Apparently, the first draft of it was pretty close, but...
Then they changed it.
Then it was redrafted and stuff.
Well,
it
the really deal with Star Wars was that they didn't necessarily change the script so much as they got forced into doing things, right? Like, they had a whole bunch of problems on set that forced them to do things differently.
Yeah, but the story wasn't even close to the same. Like, not even close. It had two characters that the story was told through, like R2-D2 and C-3PO. There was a general, and there was a princess. That's about where the similarities end.
Yeah.
But Ackbar was there, right?
No.
This story.
It was
sucks.
Not even. It's a trap. Didn't even happen.
Well, they didn't plan on writing.
There. Sometimes I think people attribute way too much of Hidden Fortress to Star Wars. I mean, you have to watch both. You have to watch the movie, and you can see. Yeah, there's some parts he pulled out. No, that doesn't even come close.
Well, I mean,
but the stuff that he used. I mean, the stuff that he used were just storytelling, like having two characters, a tall one and a shorter one, and they're the comic relief.
Yeah, well, you can go back
to Abbott and Costello. Oh. You can go to the Honeymooners. I mean, there's
the Browery Boys. You know, it's not an unknown technique.
Yeah. So that, I mean, yeah, he used it, and you can credit it to his love of Kurosawa because there's no denying that he was a huge fan of Kurosawa.
Well, I mean, there's also some more thematic elements that are cribbed there, like the reverence of samurai is a direct translation to the way that Jedi are treated in the setting.
Yeah, because in most of Kurosawa's movies, the Jedi are dying. The samurai.
Yeah, they're dying out.
They're dying out there.
There's very few of them left. Blah,
they
blah,
are.
Blah, which
they're inconsequential. They don't really matter.
Right.
Except for the story that they're telling. Mm-hmm. Those specific Jedi / samurai matter for the story.
Right.
And the same goes with Star Wars.
Which, I mean, I don't know that's not really a... I wouldn't say that's a crib. I mean, that's more of a... This is an interesting storytelling manner that I choose, like, because the hero story is pretty prevalent through all of these, but like the avenue that you get there.
If you look at the movie Star Wars, and then consequentially, if Lucas cribbed from Kurosawa to get those movies, damn, he did a good job.
Yeah. He picked a good choice.
Exactly. He did it very well.
I would have been interested if he had cribbed Francois Truffaut.
I don't know. Is that the dude with the kissing cousins?
No.
I don't know where I got that from.
I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
Arrested Development.
It's been a while since I've watched it.
True fact, when somebody says George Michael, I do not think of the singer.
That's fair. All right.
I'm not in love with you, cuz. I'm no George Michael Bluth.
Let's get back to our movie here.
Why would we do that?
Oh, why not?
So, there were a bunch of things I liked about this movie. I liked the way it looked.
It was very... the colors were very vibrant.
Yeah, I got color now. This is awesome.
Yeah, and he used it to great effect. It,
and not only that, but if you look at the movie, it doesn't feel 80s.
No.
It feels like a period movie that it would be made today. Like, the costumes and stuff are appropriate and would be worn if we made the movie today, which is difficult for an 80s movie to do.
There were a couple of interesting things he did with lighting. Like, especially the scenes where, like, the generals and the lord are up on the hill, and they're looking over the hill into the smoke and the battle.
Yeah, you can see the red and the blue and stuff on the
smoke. That was really cool. I really dug that, because it was a way for them to get away with showing a lot of action and a lot of battle without really having a lot of battle on the screen.
Yeah, they were very clever with how they did their big
climactic battles.
Yeah, budget. I mean, because the most people you ever see on the screen is when the messenger is running through in the beginning.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of implication that there's all these people around, but after that, you see a dozen or so. I mean, after that, the most people you see on the screen are in that meeting.
Yeah.
You know, sitting around.
Yeah.
Or maybe on that fence.
Yeah, the fence, that sequence at the end where you have all the bodies in the field, mm-hmm. and then all of them lined up on the fence, but nothing's happening.
Yeah,
you see the thief's face, and watching in horror, and you hear all the gunshots, but you don't actually see anything happen.
The carnage, yeah, you don't.
Then they come back and you just see bodies on the ground,
which is cool stylistically. I mean, because in the 80s they were obviously. They obviously could have put that more people on there and done more action-y stuff, but taking it from an action sequence to a personal horror sequence is a much cooler way to frame the scene.
It was more true to the story they were telling also.
Yeah, which is also why I did not think the jump-outs with Ieyasu and Tokugawa were weird. I mean, because they meet and they're like, man, we're pretty sure this dude is dead, but, like...
We can't prove it.
We can't prove it.
I just have a feeling he's dead.
I feel like he's dead.
Me too. Yeah. What can we do? I don't know.
I mean, I don't want him to be dead because I'm not a coward.
Yeah, that was great. I'll tell you.
So those were cool framing, like, islands in there where you got a sense, like, again, that he was showing you, hey, there's a whole political scene here that you're not seeing, but it's there.
Right.
That's probably going to matter.
Yeah, it gave you a glimpse of the larger world. I mean, it really did. The one thing about that sequence at the end where you saw the carnage and stuff, it was like, when they showed it from a distance, it was like, oh, yeah, that sucks. All those people died. And then they got close up and they saw some of those horses trying to get up.
Yep.
And that's when it was like, I don't know, that's when it became real.
Yeah,
it was like, real. This is painful to watch. This is bad.
Yeah.
And just seeing those horses struggle to get up, that was like, man... That took it to a new level.
Yeah.
I was great.
Well, this, by the way, is almost the exact same ending in Tom Cruise Samurai movie. What the
hell? Last Samurai.
It's like the exact same ending.
Yeah. That was a pretty good movie.
That wasn't a bad movie. Ken Watanabe was awesome in it.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise was Tom Cruise.
I need to watch that one again. We should do that one sometime.
I would watch it.
Get a little distance from our samurai movies before we watch that one again.
I love samurai, just in general, so I'm actually okay with that. Like, the Eastern culture is so... Like, that time period is just so alien from now. That's hard to... It's hard to understand. Like, they prize distance, like emotional distance and reason, and there was a whole air of etiquette to the way that they did things that people respected and kind of abided by, which is almost lost in our society today, which is kind of a shame, but also it's not, you know, stupid.
it was interesting for the period that it was in, but there were parts of it that are good to move away from.
There are parts of it that are, but I mean, I still think that the prevailing concept of honor and, like, I've shamed my house and so I'm going to go kill myself to remove that stain of honor, I think there's nobility in that. In that you can commit yourself so wholly to whatever that you're willing to lay down your life for, which is not
Well, which was the ending. Common. It was the ending theme when the thief finally has been in the role for so long that he actually thinks he is this guy, and then when he's suddenly kicked out, he's like, "Oh, I've lost my whole being. I've left it behind in that castle."
Illness changes a man.
It's yes. Yeah. And he's walking. You see him being escorted out the gate. He's in a stupor, pretty much. He doesn't even want to take the money because they have to practically force it into his hand because he's still trying to break out of this mode that he's been this guy for so long, and he just can't believe I'm not him anymore.
And it was ultimately his mistake caused it.
He really started believing he was this guy.
It was a stupid mistake, but it was really only the one mistake that caused it. It was him trying to get on the horse.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they sort of telegraph that when when the general walks back in and said, "Where's he at?" And he said, "Oh, he's out wandering around." He said, "Well, shouldn't somebody be with him?" And they say, "No, he knows the house really well by now. After 3 years, you should."
Yeah.
He's gotten to the point like he really believes himself to be this guy. I mean, he's being the real grandfather to this kid. He's got everybody convinced that he's got all his mannerisms and all his habits and behaviors. It's been drilled into him. So he said his shadow is now no longer with him.
Yeah, the sequences with the grandson, mm-hmm. I thought were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For a couple of different reasons. So there's the scene where he meets the grandson for the first mm-hmm. time. And the grandson's like, "That's not him." And it's like, everybody's like panicked. What's going on? No, it's really your grandfather. Well,
he's
okay. But I'm not scared of him anymore. that was cool. When the kid is getting his training, like through the tutor.
And they talk about the mountain.
And they're talking about the mountain, and the thief's like, "Oh, I get it now." I mean, you can tell it's as much for him as it is for the kid, and he's really learning. He's really absorbing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sequence, and I thought this was actually really good storytelling. They set up the thing where the kid's talking like to his mother or his nanny or whoever that was.
It'd be his mother.
Was it his mother?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
because he's dressing him for Boys' Day.
Yeah, and he's like, "So, I'm going to be the Lord."
Yeah, I'm the heir.
But why isn't my dad? And they never really answer it there, mm-hmm. but when they come back and talk about, when they're talking to the dad, and he's like, and they were talking about how his mother had to be married to the Lord and all that. That was really cool how they set it up, but they didn't pay it off until later. I like that.
Yeah. That was cool.
And, of course, you have the son's anger at his father for not putting him in charge. And that kind of is a whole dynamic in there, too, that he feels that he's living under this guy's shadow.
And what happened to him? He was a dickbag.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. But again, it holds with the story. He's been kept in check for so long. He wants to prove himself to everybody that, hey, I really can do this. And when he goes out and makes the big attack on the castle and gets bogged down, they come in to kind of reinforce him, and then he's, instead of being happy that he's not going to get his ass kicked, he's upset. "Oh, I only won because he was there."
Yeah.
I only won because he scared them away.
Yes. He's more indignant of that.
That's what happened.
Yeah, instead of like saying, I didn't get my ass kicked here. He's actually indignant over his own victory.
Yeah, that guy was a jerk.
Like that guy.
Well, it's a guy who's trying to prove himself to his father.
But it's not his father. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, but
it was.
It was.
Was it?
Yes.
No. I mean, obviously the thief isn't his father.
Well, yeah, I know
Mifune
that.
Mifune is his father, but he's still trying to prove himself to his father.
I didn't understand that. Then I don't understand why he wasn't in charge if it wasn't really his father.
It was really his father.
I know. Then why wasn't he the one in charge?
Because his grandfather... this is complicated. So his grandfather took that castle.
Right.
So he couldn't be the heir because his grandfather was nailing the daughter of the dude who owned it before. No.
No.
His father took the castle.
Yeah.
Nailed the daughter of the dude who owned it before.
I thought that was his mom.
His mom's not in it.
And
Mifune's wife, the mother of this dude, is not in the movie.
Right.
Right.
Because in history, she couldn't bear children, so he sent her away. He had children by the concubines instead.
That's not what they say in the movie. They say in the movie that she was the daughter of the dude who owned the castle before. He loved her, banged her. She had a kid, so he was the grandson of the dude who owned the castle. And his father could not put him in charge.
I need a flowchart.
Because these kinship lines.
He didn't want to send mixed signals on who owned the castle, is what it boiled down to.
Right.
Because the kid was from the family who owned the castle originally. His mom was from that family.
So it was a political marriage in order to secure his legitimacy.
No, it was a romantic marriage. I can draw it out for you.
I might need that because I'm still having a hard time following it. But
he couldn't be in charge because it would have undermined.
Clearly, I need to drink some sake.
Yeah.
And I have
dump some huge sake bin into the lake. No, sake is a pink thing. That stuff's terrible.
Well, he gets cheap stuff. Yeah,
it's actually pretty good.
I don't think that's true. Yeah. See. So it makes sense. I understand why it happened.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that guy wasn't a dick bag.
Well, he was.
He was a bag of sharp dicks. Not shark dicks. Don't be weird. Sharp dicks.
Means they're pointy.
Yeah. What else did I like about this movie? The dialogue in this movie was not as good as the dialogue in Seven Samurai. That's not something I like about this movie.
Well, it's a different movie.
There were points when the dialogue was clever.
It was very rare. The master should not ride.
The master should not ride.
That was the best line of the movie.
That was fantastic. Especially the second time they said it.
Yeah, the second time they say it was really the clincher. It was so good everyone on set laughed, and I don't think they were supposed to.
I almost fell out of my chair laughing. Because, for one thing, there's not a lot of comedy in the movie.
No.
So when that comes up and it's funny.
Yeah, it's very funny.
It's so unexpected. It's like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Most of the comedy has to do with those concubines. Because he's like, yeah. And then his brother's like, yeah, he's too ill for any sort of strenuous activity. And like you can see the thief like, dude.
Wait, what?
WTF.
I can do the banging.
Yeah. I can bang like Mifune.
Yeah.
I'm walking like Mifune.
I've got moves like Mifune.
Yeah. Cut off your hand. There's another handlessness. Circular.
Yeah.
Push back.
And ultimately, the concubines are the ones who discover that he's not.
Hey, you're missing a whole bunch of scars back here.
There's your scar's not here. What's going on?
I got better.
My illness undid my scars. What?
Yeah. What? Illnesses change a man, you know?
Yeah.
A lot.
Illness can change a man. I don't know that I have much else on this.
I think one of the interesting. Well, it's not even interesting. I just thought it was a nice character thing was when he's being kicked out. The last thing he says is, "Hey, can I at least say goodbye to the kid?" I liked that because it was like he was so invested in that role that his biggest concern wasn't who's going to lead the battle, who's going to be in charge.
How am I going to eat?
Yeah, it was, hey, can I at least see the kid one more time? And it seemed like when they were showing the funeral, that was his focus too, was the child.
Well, yeah, because the boy is leading the funeral procession. He's just now learned, you know, but hey, the guy I was attached to for 3 years wasn't even my own father. He was just an imposter. And like he's now he gets a chance to really bury the past. And he's
grandfather.
Yeah, grandfather, excuse me.
Yeah. All right. Because the son knew.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's watching the funeral procession there, and he's just trying to focus on the kid. You know, how he's going to react, how he's feeling, and he's just devastated at the fact that the kid's finally learning his grandfather is really dead.
I loved that scene too, because that dude is on the fence and he's looking and he's like, "Oh man, this sucks." And then you can see the three spies get up behind him and walk off and start talking about how he's actually dead. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
The spies were great.
Well, there's an interesting dovetail, because he's essentially, in the first part of the movie, when he rejects his role, he's at the lakefront watching them toss the jar in. He's watching the spies behind the debris, and he's listening, overhearing what they're saying. Oh, well, I guess he must be dead.
And he's the one that even says at the beginning, "Hey, there's some spies out there. Go kill them? We should go do that now. We should get rid of them, because bad things are going to happen if we don't get rid of them."
Yeah, those spies were awesome. And he had old samurai from Seven Samurai in there. He wasn't chopping anybody up, though, which was disappointing.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing.
Well, there was a nice little sequence, too, in the beginning when the general comes into Takeda's office and, like, tells him, you know, like, "How old are you?" And he says, "Well, I'm about 50. And he says, "Well, you act like 5 years old." I mean, that whole sequence I didn't get while he's sitting here ripping him a new asshole about everything that's going on. I didn't get it first. And then later on in the movie, you feel like this guy's been pretty reckless here lately.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of exasperated with him.
I mean, ultimately, his recklessness is his undoing. He goes out and tries to ride the horse.
And no. This is when he was. This is when
Buffoni.
This is when Sinjin hasn't died yet.
Yeah, because the thief
goes out and he sits to hear the loot and then gets shot.
That's true.
And that sequence was awesome.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Where the sniper's telling him how he lined up the shot. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's the point that I felt the story started to drag. You know, we didn't need the whole explanation of how he did that. Historically, it's kind of nice. Yeah, that's how I line up the shot and all that stuff. But yeah, that was a waste of about 10 minutes.
I thought that guy kind of looked like Pig Guy from Samurai.
It was Pig Guy.
Was it? No way!
Wow.
Pig Guy didn't look like he aged at all, and there was like 30 years between these movies. Goddamn Asians. Mostly my problem is that you never know when they're legal.
Wow.
Check their driver's license.
That's my problem with Chloe Mertz.
What's funny...
I don't know when she's legal.
Damn, what's funny is Chibi's drawing of you...
With the Fu Manchu?
Makes you look Asian.
Yeah. I don't get that. I get Down syndrome, but not Asian.
That's fair. Anything else on this movie?
Else in this movie?
Yeah, all right. It's a fun thing, too. If you dig into some of the historical background of this movie, a lot of it begins to make a lot more sense in some of the timeline. And also kind of it fleshes out the characters that they're playing, too, who are real historical figures.
Yeah, I mean, I can see if... I mean, we don't have the benefit of knowing the history.
Mm-hmm. I know the history, Tony.
Not like someone who... I mean, is... Well, I guess one of the questions I would have is this popular history enough that a school child would know?
In Japan, they would know because the battle at the end was the turning point in Japanese history. It was the beginning of the Tokugawa shogunate.
So there was that said, there is probably a few things where we probably didn't quite get some of the characters the way.
Oh yeah, no.
The Japanese would just know
instantly.
They
know,
just
yeah.
understand who these people are,
mm-hmm. and their significance.
Right. So I can, you know, given that, I can see why this movie would have been a more popular, like financially popular piece than some of his other movies, mm-hmm. because it was about a large event, historical event. People would have known the context of everything that went on here.
Right, and if you watch the movie and take a few minutes to look up research some of the main characters here.
We don't research here, though, Darryl.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the general audience. Take a few minutes with Wikipedia on some of the main characters,
mm-hmm.
and they begin to make a lot more sense as to how they are, what's all really going on here.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of really cool, like, historical pieces in there. Like, you don't see any samurai. They don't make mention of samurai because this is the post-samurai era.
Right.
They also have the...
Well, actually, it's not the post-samurai era.
It's like that, that weird transition era. Like the transition from samurai to like the new firearm thing, that's almost done. There's so many guns.
There are a lot of guns.
Like the other movies, it was earlier in that transition period where if you had guns, it was a rarity. Mm. And this, everyone's got a goddamn
gun. Well, not really. The Yojimbo... One of our main protagonists had a revolver. Revolvers were in the 1800s. This is set in 1574. So this is the era. This predates revolvers by 200 some years.
The last sequences happened in 1575.
Yeah.
Like the final battle, like I remember specifically, it was like May 21st or something like that.
Yeah, they're using matchlock
1575.
Rifles.
1575.
Maybe I have my dates wrong. You know what?
Anyway,
strike it from the record, Tony.
Done. I'm not going to edit it out, though.
I don't think you will.
All right, so we've seen these four movies. You have seen three of them.
Psst. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on having seen these movies now? Like, as a comparator, how would you rank these movies that you've seen?
Oh, Tony, let's not get into ranking. Seven Samurai, Yojimbo, Kagamusha.
Daryl?
I'd have to kind of agree on that. I mean, Hidden Fortress is kind of the weaker of all of them if you're using these four as a touchstone.
I think I would put Yojimbo. For me, Yojimbo was a little more accessible than Seven Samurai.
Mm. And the fact that it's a much more compact story. It's a much more personal one, too.
Yeah,
it's shorter.
It is shorter.
That's a big factor.
It is a lot shorter. But I would put this one up there. I think Hidden Fortress is probably... No, you know what? I did kind of like the Hidden Fortress, too. I think probably Seven Samurai was my least favorite of these.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that's largely considered to be his best.
I understand that, and I can see why, but for my enjoyment...
I think...
No, now that I think about it, this one was. Kagamusha was... It was...
You're just a curious mostly, slut.
No, mostly because that last hour was
really good.
So hard to watch.
You're saying this is the worst.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kagamusha is the worst. The last 15 minutes were great.
I'm not saying that any of these movies are bad.
No. Kurosawa, I'm not saying that any of them are bad.
Extremely talented.
I mean, just at the bar, you know, these...
Which would
top
you
to
recommend,
bottom,
yes.
Top to bottom, the bar's far and above most anything we've talked about. But if I have to rank just these four movies against each other...
If all four of these movies were on, if all three of these movies were on that I saw,
mm-hmm.
and I had to pick one to watch, I would watch Seven Samurai.
I would watch Yojimbo.
I'd have to say, yeah.
Mostly I mean, because there's more Mifune.
Well, the thing is, there's a big difference when you jump from these action these fast-paced action films to a more sedate historical drama. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to really want to get into.
You also get to see kind of the evolution of his storytelling too, because mm-hmm. it's definitely changed since.
Oh, it did.
Yojimbo and Seven Samurai. I mean, because those stories are very
tight and fast-paced.
Yeah, but they're also more personal,
right?
And this is very. There's an element of removal from it because
mm-hmm.
you're
and
kind
really
of
understanding
these events
that
unfold.
I mean, understanding that it's a historical drama.
Yeah, you need context.
It's different. The storytelling by that nature would be different.
Yeah,
because there are sequences in it that are culturally probably lost to us because we don't. I mean, I'll talk for myself. There are sequences that I don't understand the cultural significance of. That I thought, just for the storytelling, to me, dumb American, I didn't get why some of the sequences had to be as long as they were, or as drawn out as they were. But
was that a lot of the exchanges between the two other guys?
No, I actually got that. It was some of the sequences just there were just long shots where nothing happened.
That meeting, that's where the office gets 90% of its material.
Yes.
That awkward, they'll put you into a situation and then you'll feel really uncomfortable. All right, all you have to do is say good work and then walk out. and then everyone stops talking, and then they're all waiting
then they're like, for you to do something. For like 2 minutes.
And you don't do it.
Yeah.
So Kurosawa invented The Office. Guy was a master.
Genius.
Got a Ricky Gervais. I'll rate him up there. He's an innovative director, but his later work is completely different from his early work. I mean, it's a lot darker, a lot more slowly paced. Maybe that's just because of the way his career progressed. Because in his later career, he was before he was making about a movie a year up until about the 70s, and then he dropped off to about making one every 3 to 4 years.
Right.
Mainly because he had gotten the reputation by this time that he was just an impossible guy to work with, and that really dried up a lot of his funding and drove away a lot of support that he would normally have. There was a point I read in the Wikipedia on him where he was so depressed he almost tried to commit suicide in the early 1970s and almost succeeded, and was kind of rescued by the fact that a Russian film company came in and offered him a directorial job to film a big-budget film in Russia, which won a lot of a critical acclaim and sort of recharged him, even though it nearly killed him.
I thought you were going to say two men in robes came in with lightsabers and killed the worm that was going to kill him. Because I saw that happen in Attack of the Clones.
That happened, too?
No, I saw that happen in Revenge of the Sith.
Again, a very complicated man, a very, very complicated career, too.
So let me ask you a question here. I'm going to assume for both of you, Kurosawa is not your favorite director.
No, he's one of my favorite directors. He's one of my favorite directors.
Your favorite, the one.
Not the personal?
Yeah. So how does this guy compare? How does Kurosawa compare to your favorite director? First off, who is your favorite director, and how does Kurosawa compare to him? Or her? You could really love Sofia Coppola.
I could.
But I
that
don't
would be a
because
poor
her movies
choice.
Are terrible. You wish that that scene where she's baptized in The Godfather is like acid, and then she dies.
She could become the female Two-Face.
I don't actually mean that, because that's really harsh.
I'm the point right now, I don't really have a favorite director, per se.
What? That cop-out.
No, it's true. I really don't have a tremendous, outstanding favorite.
My favorite director has changed.
Is it your best or your favorite?
That's favorite. I think it's between.
Just say Hitchcock, so we can move on.
No, it was, but I think it has become it
Zach
has become.
Snyder.
No.
If you're gonna say Christopher Nolan, that would accept that.
Christopher Nolan would be a great choice.
Ooh.
He needs a couple more movies under his belt, but
remind
right now it's Eastwood.
Remind me to come back.
Oh, Eastwood.
Eastwood's a solid choice for me right now. I have not been.
The Eastwood Kurosawa comparison's good too. Eastwood.
The next time we do a director series, I want to do Eastwood. I want to.
Eastwood's a good comparison to Kurosawa too because they have very similar themes.
Yeah.
Like with
And if I'm gonna compare them,
Gran Torino. Yeah.
It's a tough comparison. It is a very tough comparison.
Gran Torino is a fantastic. Corollary to Kagemusha. Fantastic.
Yeah. I think they're very close. It's hard, just because I've seen more Eastwood movies. I'll say Eastwood, but give me a few more Kurosawa movies, and I may change my mind. I've just seen more Eastwood, so it's just easier for me to gravitate toward him. But I loved everything I saw with Kurosawa. I will watch more. I just need a break because we've watched so much and the movies are
long.
Yeah, it was like watching The Lord of the Rings again. It was just a lot of movie to watch.
All right, how much have we talked here? 48 minutes? All right.
Yeah.
So let me bring this up to you. I read an article yesterday, day before, about Christopher Nolan. Did you read that cracked article?
I read that article.
All right. So did you read the cracked article about it? Okay. So the author of the article posits
brilliant
that Bruce Wayne,
Christian Bale
will die in the last Batman movie, Dark Knight Rises. And his rationale for this is that Christopher Nolan follows a pattern. Have you seen the movie The Prestige?
No, I have not. Son of a bitch, Daryl.
I have.
Well, I may have to go take a look at it now.
Yeah, because we really can't have this conversation without you having seen it, because I don't want to spoil it for you.
Yeah, because it would kind of spoil the movie, The Prestige.
I tell you what, we'll talk about it next week.
All right.
I'll send you the article, you can read it, we can discuss it.
Okay.
Because it's a good film discussion.
It's a great discussion.
It's a solid article.
And not even using the theory based on Nolan's sequence of how he does things, but just based on the story they're telling.
Yep.
And the little bits of information that have been released.
It's a good article. We'll discuss it.
It's solid. Yeah.
We'll discuss it. I'll send it to you tonight.
Okay.
And then you can kind of
catch it in the morning.
And if you want to watch The Prestige, it's probably not necessary, but.
Well, I do. I've wanted to see it.
It's not a bad movie. I don't like it, but it's not a bad movie. All right, I got nothing.
I'm done.
Okay.
All right, so.
Ballsack.
As people listen to this, the next episode they will hear will be the Skanksgiving episode.
That was a rough episode. Mm-hmm. Actually, that episode was fine. Drive home was rough because there was a lot of people on the road. Most of them were drunk.
I got really drunk that night.
I didn't.
I was really drunk by the end of the night.
I am down from getting drunk once every 3 days to getting drunk like once every 3 weeks.
Quite an accomplishment.
This is a sad turning point in my life.
You're growing up.
I am getting old. It's pretty terrible. I will be 30.
Liver just can't handle it after a while.
I'll be like 30 in a year and a half.
That's whoa.
Terrifying.
Terrifying, huh?
If we're still doing the podcast, we're doing Logan's Run for your birthday.
Well, let me tell you.
I'm doing Logan's Run.
For your 30th birthday.
Veterans of ball sack.
Well, let me tell you, Dave. Old age isn't for pussies.
Yeah, so I'm
going to
have what happened to Clint Eastwood. Goddamn Gran Torino.
All right.
That would be an awesome way to die, though. One last blaze of glory.
Well, if you have choice between dying of cancer and dying from instantly dying from gunshots and taking out all your enemies in one swoop, I guess that would be
a... That's a win.
That's a win.
That's an awesome win, too, man.
That's number Wang.
The thing about it is I imagine Clint Eastwood is just that
doing
guy.
That.
Yeah, just doing that. Like, that's how he's going to die in like 5 years. And in other news, Clint Eastwood was gunned down outside of a crack house this morning. Sources say he was unarmed but charged 50 men. Cameras rolling. Like, you're going to get like Eastwood cam. He's going to like have cameras built into his glasses. So you're going to see first person him like fall down and die.
And he rescued the young girl being held captive.
Rescued her, banged her, then died.
Yeah. Either that or he walks into some foreign nation that we're at odds
clearly
with.
Clearly at war with.
And he's dragging a nuke by his balls. He's just walking along. He's got chains on his balls, dragging the nuke in behind him.
Full
all right, nude. Let's go.
Fully nude, yeah.
Head till he's way punk, in the you feel lucky?
Dead mates in.
All right,
I gotta get out of here.
All right.
That's too intense.
Too much Eastwood in one setting. Bye-bye.